Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. TBC Mass Choir is on fire. They on fire.
Praise the Lord.
I remember when I used to sing in the choir, and I did sing in the choir. That was one of my favorite praise songs. We have the victory. We have, they are sung, we have the victory, and this is our season. So we have something to shout about. We have something to shout about. I don't care how bad it look. We have the victory. We have the victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will be exceedingly glad. Exceedingly glad. First, I want to give honor to God because he is truly the head of my life. I'd like to honor the ministers this morning because they have prayed for me this morning. They know that I've come in not feeling too well, but God is a good God. So I just appreciate the prayers because I know he's going to bring me straight on through. I know he's going to bring me straight on through. Before I go any further, I'd just like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless this word. Bless it, Lord. Bless it to touch each and every person in this house that can hear me preaching to them. Lord, we pray for healing, Lord, today, from the pulpit to the door. Lord, we ask that you will surround this church with healing power, Lord. I know I'm not the only one that's not feeling well today. I know it's some more folk that got up this morning and felt like they wanted to lay back down. But Lord, I ask you to touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch those that are out there, Lord, on Facebook and YouTube, Lord. Touch their bodies. Touch their minds and their hearts, Lord. Bless their houses, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you because you're the only name that we can call on in times like this. Lord, I ask you just to breathe on us the breath of God. Lord, speak to us in the only way that you know how. And devil, since you showed up in this service this morning with your analyzing, criticizing self, we cancel your assignment right now in the name of Jesus. Because we have the victory. We have the victory in you, Lord. Lord, bless me to do what you have sent me to do. Remove Robin right now, Lord, and stand up in me. In Jesus' precious name, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for this day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Today I will be reading from John 1, starting at the 19th verse. And if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, it's just a few verses. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. That's John 1, starting at verse 19. It says, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? And he came right out and said, I am not the Messiah. Well, then who are you? They asked. Are you Elijah? No, he replied. Are you the prophet we are expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? What do you have to say about yourself? John replied in the words of the prophet, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? John told him, I baptize with water. But right here in the crowd is someone you don't even recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. You may take your seat.
Amen.
For a sermon title this morning, I have, what is your declaration? What is your declaration? This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? This encounter took place in Bethany, which was near the Jordan River where John was baptizing. They want to know, who are you? Who are you? Well, we are now in the second Sunday of August. Today is August the 14th, 2022. This year is moving swiftly. Part of it was still, we were still closed down. Part of us, some of us are still closed down. But it doesn't matter. This year is moving very fast. And according to the calculator, we have 20 more Sundays left in this year. 20 more Sundays left in this year. Those 20 weeks are according to the Egyptian 365-day calendar. The same calendar told us that today was the second Sunday of August. But now there's a second coming of Jesus Christ, where there is no calendar to say how many days we have until Christ returns. If we live, we got 20 more Sundays in this year. But we don't know the day, the minute, the hour, or the second when Jesus comes back. We don't have a calendar for that. We don't have a second coming of Jesus Christ calendar with a date on it. Jesus will return to earth to fulfillment of his promises and to fulfill the prophecies made about him. The scriptures say that when we who are still living, y'all know this scripture if you've been to any funerals, we who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of call of God. And first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So we are to encourage each other with these words. But also Jesus said, and then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All we need to do is watch the news and compare the news to the scriptures. Compare the news to the scriptures. The Bible says, as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, disrespectful, contemptuous to parents. People will be crude. People will be coarse. It'll be a dog-eat-dog world. unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. Those in power would judge the dead to reward their servants. There will be doomsday deceivers claiming they are the Christ, the Messiah, deceiving a lot of people. There will be reports of wars and rumors of wars. Y'all see where I'm going? Nations will fight nations, and rulers will fight rulers. Famines and earthquakes will occur. Come on now. In various places. Christians will be thrown to the wolves because they carry the name of Jesus Christ. Because we carry the name of Jesus Christ, especially in places like China and Russia and Africa, Iraq and Israel. Now, this stuff I got from the scriptures. But if you turn on the news, you might think that's where I got it from. There will be an overwhelming spread of evil. Nothing left to love but a mound of ashes. Idolatry, adultery, violence, lust, greed, theft. Lion will consume the land, even at the time of the end. Many will run to and fro as knowledge is increased. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom will still be preached all over the world. That's a guarantee. As some give up on the faith and chase after demonic people, lawlessness will increase, calling evil good, darkness light, and calling a win a loss and a loss a win. These are the times we are living in. We are living in the wilderness of the land. Living in a wilderness just like John the Baptist did. John the Baptist had a declaration in the wilderness. John the Baptist had a word to preach even in the wilderness. John had a witness in the wilderness. What is your declaration? What is your witness? Jesus said, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Those who witnessed Christ's ascension into heaven after his death and resurrection heard the angels declare to some men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the heavens? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. This second coming is the exact return of Jesus Christ to the earth as king in power and glory to rule for all eternity. The second coming is the event when Jesus Christ returns to the earth to defeat evil, establish his reign of justice and peace. So we must avoid the extremes, believing that the second coming has already occurred and believing that the second coming will never come. Jesus is coming back again. We may not have a date on the calendar, but he is coming back. There are things we know for sure. Once a child is born, we know its birthday next year, even though we did not know the first birthday unless it was a medical issue. We know when an anniversary comes around next year, and we know that Jesus is coming back again. The angels in heaven don't know. Jesus does not even know. Only our Heavenly Father knows. My question this morning is, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Have you dotted every I? Have you crossed every T? What do you know for sure? Is your declaration sure? John was being questioned by the religionists who were suspicious of him. He was a man who was sure of who he was. He was not the Christ. He was not Elijah. He was not the prophet. He was only a voice. He was a forerunner for the Lord. He was a baptizer. He was unworthy. He was a man bringing honor to a place. He knew God personally. Therefore, he knew God had sent him for ministry. He was from God, called by God, and commissioned by God. John knew what he was doing. These religionists were a fact-finding commission sent from Jerusalem, the headquarters of the Jewish religion. The questioning was to be expected because his father, Zechariah, was a priest. In their eyes, if you were the son of a priest, you were a priest too. But John was different than the others. He was unique. He was a wild-looking man. He was a man that had no power or position in the Jewish political system, but he spoke with compelling authority. People were moved by his words because he spoke the truth. John challenged them to turn from their sins and baptize them as a symbol of their repentance. They came by the hundreds to be baptized. The truth will move people, but that's only if they hear the truth. Who have you challenged? What is your declaration? Where is your voice? Where is your voice? What are you saying out here in the wilderness? John was a non-traditional preacher, and the religious leaders wanted to know why. God has given each of us a purpose for living. And we should trust him to guide us. That's the only way others will be drawn, only if they hear the word, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too often, institutional religion is suspicious and opposed to the unusual and opposed to the strange. If a person is different or does things differently, he is questioned. If a person is unusually blessed, or if miraculous things are happening in his or her life and ministry, he is questioned. John the Baptist was unique. He wore odd clothes. He ate strange food. He preached an unusual message. And the Judeans went on a field trip to a wasteland to inquire as to what he was doing. John was being obedient. John was being obedient to his purpose. John was being obedient to his call. What is your call? What is your call? Anybody got an answer? Are you being obedient to your purpose? John didn't set out to be different. Different just found him. He had a specific role to play in the world, which was announcing the coming of the Savior. We have that same responsibility. We have already established that Jesus is coming back again. But what is your role for Christ's second coming? Are you broadcasting to the world that Jesus Christ is coming back? If you go back and read Luke 1, you will see that when the angel of the Lord announced John's birth to Zechariah, he made it clear that this child was to be a Nazarite, a man set apart for God's service. Scriptures tell us that once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we are set apart for God's service. What are you doing in your set apart for God's service? Or what are you not doing? This was John's second time being the forerunner for Christ. His first time was with his birth. His parents were the forerunner for Mary and Joseph, showing the power of God. Elizabeth was 88 years old when she gave birth to John. Now, you know that is too old. Ladies, you know that's too old to be having a baby. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Mary was 12 to 14 years old when she gave birth to Jesus. Both was miraculous birth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were too old and Mary was still a virgin, but she was pregnant. God does strange things to set up his work. John the Baptist was only a voice, only a forerunner for the Lord. But I want to know this morning, where is our voice? Where is our voice? We need to be equipped to answer man, woman, boy, or girl as to the hope that we have in us and our testimony for Jesus Christ. That is our evidence. That is our statement. That is our claim. That is our declaration. Where is your voice? What is coming out of your mouth? What is your voice saying? What is coming out of your mouth? Are you using your voice to spread the gospel? Or are you putting a knife in someone's back? What is your declaration? Don't everybody in here act like you've been saved all your life when I keep going through here, okay? In 1971, there was a group named The Undisputed Truth. Come on, Curtis, I know you know. And they came out with a song called Smiling Faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. And that was in 1971. And following that, in 1972, the OJs came out with a song called Backstabbers. Come on, I got some folk in the house. Come on. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. Them low-down, dirty backstabbers. I want to know, what is your voice and what is coming out of your mouth? I know you know how the rest of that song goes. Which song are you imitating? Which song are you singing? Are you singing Smiling Faces? Are you imitating backstabbers? The questions are, why was it necessary for the Messiah to have a forerunner? Why did John have to run ahead of Jesus, crying, prepare, make the Lord's way straight? There were many who had never heard of Jesus Christ. There were many who had never heard of Jesus Christ. Let alone his second coming, they didn't even know about the first coming. Few had seen the seed promised to Adam and Abraham as referring to the Messiah. They had interpreted the seed as the nation of Israel, all circumcised Jewish, born through Abraham's life, just an ordinary man. They also saw the Messiah as the son of David. David had liberated and led their nation to its highest peak. So they expected the Messiah to come in military form, picking up where David left off. But their religion needed to be straightened out. Make way, make that road straight. Their religion needed to be straightened out. The Messiah was to bring a new message that the man or woman who is on the earth is sinful and perishing. The man must repent. The woman must prepare, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. You on this earth, sinful and perishing, you must repent. You must prepare, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The same can be said of men and women today. Many need their concept of the Messiah straightened out. Some have never seen or heard of the promised seed as Christ. Many need their religion straightened out. Many people need to hear about the Messiah. Some have never heard that he came for the first time, nor that he's coming again. That's where we come in at. Come on, everybody say amen, amen. That's where we come in at. Then you have others whose concept of Jesus Christ has been deteriorated over the years because of life issues. Life issues will alter your faith if you are not anchored in the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Life issues will alter your faith if you are not anchored in the Lord. Life issues will turn you away from the church. There's nothing like church hurt. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing like church hurt. Church hurt can take you down a path you never wanted to go. Church hurt can cloud your vision. Church hurt will keep you from seeing the kingdom. Church hurt will keep you from seeing Jesus. Life issues will alienate you from your family, your church family, your blood family, even your street family. We have a charge to keep, to go ye therefore. From John's birth, he had a charge. From our new birth, we have a charge. It is our job to witness the return of Jesus Christ. It is our job to witness the return of Jesus Christ. John was trying to tell everybody he knew about the coming of the Messiah, baptizing all that he could. John was preparing the way. We should be preparing the way for the second coming of Christ. We are living in a wasteland. We are living in the wilderness. Isaiah said, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Are we making the highway straight for those who are in darkness? For those that are in the wasteland? We got a lot of work to do, not just inside, but some of this work got to be taken outside. Some of the ministries got to be taken outside. The word of God got to walk out the door. It has to walk out the door. And we don't know how much time we have. We don't have that calendar. We don't know how much time we have. We don't have a date on the calendar. Our job is to point people to Jesus Christ, to show that he is the one whom they seek. Sometimes people are going around looking for something and they don't even know what they're looking for. They just know they need something better than what they got. And we are supposed to be the ones to show them the way. People are looking for someone to give them security in an insecure world. Jesus went to the cross over 2,000 years ago and died for our security. What is your declaration? Because he died. What is your declaration? He died for our salvation. What is your declaration? For our sins, he died. What is your declaration? You do know that the soldiers beat him for our security. Then Peter denied him for our security. And Judas betrayed him. The crowd mocked him. He was condemned by Pilate for our security. Arrested by the soldiers and exchanged for Barabbas. Cursed by the crowd, crucified on Calvary, wounded in his side, and died on the cross. What is your declaration? Then he was sealed in a borrowed grave. For our security, he died. Till the sun refused to shine. He died till the moon ran crimson like blood. He died till the dead in Christ got insomnia and refused to rest in peace. For our security, he died. Till the mountains did quake and the oceans would not roar. For our security, he died. The rivers would not rush. The brooks would not babble. The birds would not sing. For our security, he died. For our salvation, he died. Till nature paused and heaven was silent. For the cherubims and the seraphims, they laid down their instruments. The flowers slumped their heads and the trees hung their branches. And the dark mountain of Calvary was etched in pale shadow. For our sins, he died. For our security, he died. But the Bible says that early Sunday morning, the justice and mercy kissed us, and he got up from the grave with all power in his hands. What you've got to understand that this was intentional. You've got to understand that we got a job to do. We have a way to make straight. We have a waistline to witness to. John had a testimony of who he was not. What is that, your declaration of who you are? What is your declaration who you serve? John walked in who he was. We must walk in who we are. In whom God called us to be. What is your declaration? What have you done to prepare a way for the Lord's second coming? What is your declaration? When was the last time you spoke about Christ to somebody that was not your family? What's your declaration? When was the last time that you had a time where you went out on the street? I mean, we used to do that at home. We used to walk the street. Now it's scary to walk the street. But the Lord said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. When was the last time we actually, even in the mall, in the restaurant, had something to say about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you witnessed of the goodness of Jesus Christ? What is your declaration? Do they know that Jesus Christ is coming back again? You must stand up for Christ. He went to the cross for you. What is your declaration? At Jesus' second coming, all I want to hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Well done, Robin. What is your declaration? God be the glory.